Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So we have officers now that are training, and the reports are they're spending some, their own money, taking their own leave to go train because it's going to be worse.
Officers are doing their own training?
Police officers, yeah. And, you know, where Brian Carnes is saying it's going to be worse than what happened at 9/11 and that it's going to be more of the same that happened at San Bernardino. And the officers, we're asking them to go into these places. I want you to take a look at this and think about this as your church, that you can call your local police department, sheriff's department, and say, we want to sponsor as many officers that would like to go to this training so they can be fully equipped. Take a look.
First. In the wake of continuing terror attacks around the world, it's clear international terrorists are evolving to use ever more spectacular and brutal tactics. Coordinated attacks on multiple locations can quickly bring entire cities to a standstill and represent a nightmare scenario for any law enforcement agency. Just outside Little Rock, Arkansas, law enforcement professionals from across the country come to this 700-acre facility to find better ways to respond to such attacks. The Direct Action Resource Center, known as DARCY, has been developing counterterrorism techniques for 2 decades and offers a special course several times each year for law enforcement. Former Green Beret Rich Mason is the founder.
DARCY was started in 1996 as a way for special operation type forces, law enforcement and military, to get it kind of off campus, away from the flagpole, and to really focus cost-effective training. DARCY focuses mostly on things like urban warfare, counterterrorism, things along those lines. We have ranges for everything from sniper to pistol. You know, we do concealed carry, low visibility operations, explosive breaching, things like that.
The law enforcement counterterrorism course brings in cops from all different agencies and throws them together in a chaotic, hyper-realistic scenario from day one.
This course is designed to defeat a multi-cell attack, similar to Paris, but actually worse in scale.
One of the things that makes DARCY training so effective is that they have the cops bring their same equipment that they would take on their real calls. So the SWAT guys bring their same body armor, the same helmets, gas masks, and even weapons. And there's one important difference, though, and that's this little blue bolt that goes in their weapon while they're here. This is modified to only fire plastic bullets. The reason why that's important is because the OP4 or opposing forces here are all live guys and they're shooting back at you with these same plastic bullets. Now this isn't paintball. These things really hurt. And the point is, when you get hit, you know it. That makes the training painful, but very realistic.
Yeah, this training is very important because it puts everything in a context for law enforcement. The aggressive nature of something like a lone wolf attack with multiple guys, a multi-cell attack, is different than day-to-day, I guess what they call routine law enforcement operations, even for tactical units.
It's mass chaos initially because you're going to get reports coming from a bunch of different directions about a bunch of different issues occurring.
Mike Cowan is a Memphis cop who has been to DARCY several times.
There are not enough tactical guys on one team to respond to a major event like what we saw in Paris. So we would have to integrate together. And so having the opportunity to train and learn these tactics and then be able to teach these tactics so that we can all be on the same sheet is why we're here.
This is a training you can't get anywhere else.
Lieutenant Chris Amling is a sheriff's deputy in Pulaski County, Arkansas.
When you have a guy that is actively trying to hurt you, and it's not for play, I mean, it's real life, you put a lot more into it, you take your time, your breathing goes up. I mean, everything, it feels real. It really does.
The scenarios keep changing and getting more chaotic throughout the course, and that's done on purpose to keep these guys guessing and make the value of the training even higher.
You know, you have everything from suicide vests to being shot at, you know, it's kind of a full spectrum of violence we're able to simulate for the law enforcement entities that come out here.
And cops are lining up for the training, many taking vacation time and spending their own money to be here because they understand what's at stake.
I mean, it happens here in the States, and we have to prepare for that and be ready for it, whether it's ISIS or whether it's homegrown terrorism. We've got to get this training, we've got to put it on our guys, and we've got to make this real-world experience happen right now.
With the next attack likely a matter of when, not if, these men are spending lots of late nights at DARCY, making sure they'll be ready.
Knowledge is power, absolutely. The more you know, the more you've experienced, it definitely gives you an edge.
From Little Rock, Arkansas, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN.
We have to remember to keep our law enforcement officers in our prayers and let them know we're standing with them. And think about it, your church, your organization, you can find out how much it takes to be able to send an officer to Dorsey, D-O-R-C-I. I think it's D-O-R-C-I-1.com. I think their site is. But to find out what much it costs and just sponsor them. I mean, think about it. They're the ones you're going to call out to be able to help out at a situation or a mall or something that's going on. And we just need to really be training them. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, you know, I never heard of Brian Karn before. And but, you know, Benny was offering, you know, his ministry. I think they're connected. You know, he calls him his pastor. And kind of lines up with what Rick Joyner's been talking about.
It does.
What God's been showing Rick Joyner, what God's been showing us. Yeah. I mean, even Joel's book, Joel
Rosenberg's
book is, they had these faction type books. You never know where you're in and out or what's going on.
Factional, call it something like that.
I haven't read it yet, but I got it. And I'm going to read it to see what's in it. Didn't he used to serve in Israel as a...
an advisor? I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was on BB.
He's highly intelligent, though. I mean, he knows a lot of stuff regarding Middle East and all
he's
those
very things. Smart.
Very smart.
I think it's the glasses.
It has to be. It has to be.
Small frame glasses.
It has to be.
So, you know, you see all this is coming together, and you need to, you're going to need to hear this word again, and you can do that by going to vfntv.com and go to the programs, and you can watch these programs online, and you can share them with your friends. Mm-hmm.
But, and there's a convergence of these words. I mean, this word is not a standalone word because it's this. This is not a standalone word. You listen to the concert of what God is saying through many of the people that God is using, and it's pretty accurate, comparative speaking, things God showed us, like you said, and other people. But you just kind of want to hear it all in concert and seek the Lord yourself so you can have, you know, fresh eyes and ears to hear what he's saying.
Well, one thing that Brian said when he was... we didn't have that part for you, but we'll have the whole thing for you on the VFN Torch, was that, you know, what his words are. When I have a dream, I can't tell you, maybe it's 50% right. It's what he says about himself. He says, but when I have a vision, Lord gives me a vision, it's always been 100% accurate, the visions that he's been given by the Lord. And he talks about something that he said, you know, what we saw in France will be happening in America in Thanksgiving. Mm. Of course, a few days later, we saw San Bernardino take place. And it's interesting, San Bernardino was, you know, two radical...
husband and wife team.
Yeah, I mean, just radical jihadists, ISIS, loyal to ISIS. Mm-hmm. Crazies wanting to just go kill as many people as they can. People they work with for about 5 years. And when you think about that, I mean, no matter what you think on the inside, I think about this particular commentator that's on Fox News now. He used to be on... public radio, but he spoke his mind. What he said,
Juan Williams.
Yeah, Juan Williams, and he's not saying what he said then, but this is what he said when he was on public radio. He says, "Well, I got on the plane, and I got who wouldn't be nervous if this radical jihadism type thing is going on." This is not the exact words he used. The public radio said that, you know, you can't say that. That's wrong, and that's when he came over to Fox News. But he was just being honest. You don't know. I mean, everybody at some point, whoever, you just don't know. I mean, you go into it. I mean, if you've been in the city, you're very conscious.
Hello.
The people that ride the train, no matter what they say, they don't talk to each other.
That's right.
You know, some in suits, some in jeans, some in shorts. I mean, everybody is kind of protective and that kind of thing. Some of them were just talking to themselves for security. Now they have iPhones or phones, so it doesn't look like as crazy. It used to be when I was there, like in the 80s. They actually still did that without cell phones.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So today they just act like they're talking on the phone. So, you know, this stuff is happening, and it's just a convergence, like John is saying. I mean, I would take it very seriously, and I would prepare. And we didn't show you, you know, Benny Hinn's just like almost out, you know, it's just like, okay. You know, he grew up in Israel or an environment where he's constantly being threatened, and his life was being threatened. His mother said, your son won't even come home today because they were Jewish, right?
I'm not sure if Benny's Jewish.
It's Lebanese. It's Christian. Christian.
Yeah.
He was Christian in Lebanon, I believe. But anyway, he's Christian. That's the reason why he was being threatened. And they didn't call them Christians. They threatened them and called them the people Nazarenes. Mm. That's what they used to call them, as the Nazarenes back then. Mm. And so it's nothing new, but the whole thing, that was a few back then. And on this program, they're talking about the full program, 300,000. And they just came out and said 300,000 radical jihadists, radical Islam in the world.
Wow.
300,000, that's as much as, you know, it's the population of America. That's significant.
No, 300 million.
300 million, I'm sorry. 300 million. 300 million radical jihadists is what they were talking about on that program. And it kind of lines up with some other things, you know, numbers.
Still about 10%. Yeah. A lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's the population of America. And what's happened over a period of time, intentionally, they've been just kind of trickled in over our border. Everybody that comes across our border is not radical jihadists or even part of ISIS or even part of Islam. But it's Kamal Saleem said the Border Patrol told him that you know,
over 400,000 radical jihadists or Islamists were across the borders.
Yeah.
But we know this from Jason Chaffetz, who's a senator from Utah. He actually spoke with Homeland Security Jay Johnson and interviewed him and said, you know, in 9/11, on the anniversary of 9/11, I believe 2015, mm-hmm. he asked him, you know, were you aware that two people that had known terrorist ties were apprehended at the borders? Right. And he at first said he didn't know, and then later revealed, oh, yeah, kind of knew something about that. But the senator who has this information said they know at least of 300,000 people that have been let through.
Well, we have Kamal Saleem's spot. You got to hear what Kamal said. But if you think about when the Border Patrol told Kamal Saleem this with Kuhn Ministries, that puts it about 5 years back when this Farouk was at that job, and he was sitting there as a potential sleeper cell that would kind of come out. As a matter of fact, listen to Kamal Saleem, what he says right here when he's at a Morningstar conference.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them, because they could not deport them back because Canada or Mexico would not take them back. So America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail. So what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society and they disappear. And so what happened is today America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America specifically.
That is exactly what they've been. It's all come to pass. Mm-hmm. They come across the border, they check in, they give them a little notice to come back, and they just disappear. That's been happening again and again and again. And what happened with Farouk, that was just legitimately out there, and they were posting on their Facebook and social media that she was, you know, reports are that, you know, she was loyal to ISIS. And
reports are that the government doesn't have enough personnel to actually.
Well, there was a written policy that says you cannot check someone's social media for deciding whether they can.
Well, but I'm talking about trailing them where they can follow them. No, there's not enough.
Yeah. Reports are they're going to bring in more FBI agents, but they're bringing more FBI agents for what was the purpose?
To surveil them, to watch them, you know, 24 hours.
I heard there was actually for something a little bit different other than that. That'd be great. We need more FBI agents to be able to do that. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.